As we move through the Bible, we've come this Sunday to the seventh chapter of Revelation. This morning, we'd like to draw your attention to the 14th verse of Revelation chapter 7. As John sees in heaven this vast multitude of people that no man can number, who are obviously not the church. Because when the elder said to John, "Who are these? Where did they come from?" John declared his ignorance and said, "You tell me." And so the elder explained to John that these are they which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Sin mars a person's life. It leaves an indelible stain. And there is only one thing that can wash away the stain and the guilt of sin, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. Good works, all of your efforts, cannot avail to wash away the guilt of sin. There's only one cure for the blight that sin leaves upon a person, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. In the Bible, leprosy is used as a type of sin. Number one, because leprosy is incurable. And in Bible days, it was completely incurable. Today, through medicine, we can arrest the progress of leprosy. But it remains in the system, and a person has to remain on medication. But it is a type of sin because it is progressive. It grows. Leprosy, interestingly enough, progresses by rotting, and thus an interesting type of sin. The rottenness gradually is destroying you. Leprosy is an interesting type of sin because it is deadly, and thus the Bible uses leprosy as a type of sin. Incurable, deadly, progressive, it rots. But in the law, there's a very interesting statement in Leviticus chapter 14, verse 2. That says, "This is the law of the leper in the day that he is cleansed." What does that mean? That means that God has made a provision for him to work in this deadly, incurable disease, where it is impossible for man to do anything about it. God has left an open door for him to work and to cleanse a man from his leprosy. Now, it is interesting, you never hear of or read of leprosy being cured, but of being cleansed. And thus, God made provision, should he, in his grace and sovereign desire, choose to heal a person from leprosy, there was a way by which that person could come back into society by going and showing himself to the priest, being examined, going into a isolation chamber for 7 days, being examined again, and then offering the sacrifices and being restored to the community. God made provisions. It is interesting that for fear of leprosy, they isolated the leper. He was ostracized from his home, his family, from the community. He had to live outside the city. And if anyone would approach him, he'd have to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." It's sort of sad that we don't have some kind of a rule like that for sinners today. That they'd have to cry out, "Unclean, unclean, you know, don't get near me, I'll pollute you." One day, a rich young ruler came to Jesus seeking the way of salvation. And Jesus told him what he needed to do. And he went away sad because he wasn't willing to pay the price. And Jesus said to his disciples, "It's so hard for those who trust in their riches to enter the kingdom of heaven. Actually, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a man who trusts in riches to enter heaven." Peter said, "Lord, if that's the case, who then can be saved?" And Jesus said, "With man, it is impossible. Sin is incurable. But sin can be cleansed, and God provided the way for the cleansing of sin. He made one provision whereby a person can be cleansed of sin, and that is through the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who was slain for the sins of the world." It is interesting that through the history of the Bible, you have the idea and concept of sin being covered by the sacrifice of an animal. It goes back all the way to the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, ate of the tree in the midst of the garden, of which God said, "When you do that, you'll surely die." But when they did that, and suddenly they had the knowledge of good and evil, their eyes were open, and they realized they were naked, they sewed together fig leaves to cover their nakedness. I think I would have probably chosen maybe avocado leaves. Fig leaves are scratchy, but... Anyhow, that was their choice. But it's interesting that when the Lord accosted them with their sin, he gave to them, it said, coats of skins to cover their nakedness. Their sewing together fig leaves represented their own endeavor to cover their guilt. But God killed some animals to give them the fur coats from those animals to cover their nakedness. But the sacrifice, and thus the idea was developed and born of the necessity of an animal to be slain in order that the guilt of sin might be covered. So that when the sons of Adam and Eve brought their sacrifices to God, Cain brought the labor of his own hands. He brought some of his vegetables from his vegetable garden that he had cultivated and tilled. Whereas Abel brought a lamb for the sacrifice. And God accepted the sacrifice of Abel, but he rejected the sacrifice of Cain. As God rejects the works that we might do to try to cover our guilt, they just won't pass. But there has to be the death, because the wages of sin is death. God said that they would surely die. And thus, the substitutionary death of the animal in order to cover their sin. When God tested the faith of Abraham by asking him to offer his only son Isaac as a sacrifice unto the Lord there on the mountain that God would show Abraham, Abraham journeyed with the servants and with Isaac from Hebron for 3 days until they came to the area of Jerusalem, Mount Moriah. And there at the base of the mountain, Abraham left the servants, and with Isaac they started up the hill. And Isaac said, "Dad, haven't you forgotten something? Here is the wood, and we have the fire, but we don't have any lamb to sacrifice." And Abraham said, "Son, God will provide himself a lamb for the sacrifice." And thus this idea of offering a lamb for the sacrifice. Later on, when Moses came to the Pharaoh and demanded that the Pharaoh release the children of Israel from their slavery, and when he refused, God began to send plagues upon the Pharaoh. And finally, God said to Moses, "I'm going to pass through the land, and I'm going to kill the firstborn in every family throughout all of the land of Egypt. But in order that the children of Israel might be spared, have them go out to their flocks and take a lamb of the first year. Kill it. Put the water in a basin, and with hyssop, sprinkle it upon the lintels and the doorpost of their homes. And when I pass through the land this night, when I see the blood, I will pass over that house." And thus, the sacrificial lamb, the blood covering the door, spared them death of their firstborn. Later on in the law, as God established the sacrifices, the sin offerings, God established that a person could bring a lamb for his sin offering, and the lamb could die in his place. These all were types that were looking forward to the coming of the Lamb of God into the world. There were prophecies in the scriptures concerning the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world. We've already spoken of Abraham, how when Isaac said, "Dad, we don't have a lamb for a sacrifice," he said, "The Lord will provide himself a lamb for the sacrifice." And later on, when Abraham was ready to offer Isaac, and the Lord stayed him from doing so, he said, "Behold, there's a ram caught by its horns in the thicket." And Abraham went over and took the ram and offered it as a sacrifice. And then he called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. And then he prophesied, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." It is interesting that it was on Mount Moriah that the Lamb of God was slain for the sins of the world. The very same mount where Abraham was ready to offer Isaac, the very same mount where Abraham prophesied the Lord will provide himself a lamb for the sacrifice. And then he said, "This is Jehovah Jireh. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." Isaiah prophesied concerning the Messiah that he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is mute, so he opens not his mouth. He prophesied that God would make his soul an offering for sin. When John the Baptist was preaching, when Jesus came, John cried, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." And so the prophecies that Jesus was indeed and would come and be indeed the sacrifice for the sins of man, he fulfilled when he died upon the cross. For Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John tells us that when the soldiers came to break the legs of the prisoners to hasten their death, that they broke the legs of the two criminals that were crucified on either side of Jesus. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead, so they did not break his legs. And thus the prophecy was fulfilled, not a bone of him shall be broken. But instead, the soldier took his spear and pierced the heart of Jesus, ran it through his side, through the heart. And we read, and there came forth blood and water. The blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. You say, well, what is so important about the shedding of blood? Why do they have to shed blood? Well, the penalty of sin is death. There in the Garden of Eden, God said, in the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. In other words, God pronounced the death sentence upon sin. In the law, it said, and the soul that sinneth shall surely die. Paul declared, the wages of sin is death. The Bible tells us that the life of the flesh is in the blood. When the blood is shed, it speaks of the life being given. As the blood pours out, the life is pouring out. You see, the blood carries life to all parts of our body. It carries the oxygen for the cells to burn. It carries the nutrients to take care of the cells. And thus, it is the red river of life that flows through us. And when a person bleeds to death, and the profuse bleeding spoke of the death, it recognized the death, the blood flowing forth. And thus it speaks of God's penalty of death for sin being fulfilled. When Jesus was with his disciples at the Last Supper, he took the cup and he said, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the remission of sins. Declaring that the shedding of his blood was for the remission of man's sins. Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, said, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Then in chapter 2:13, he said, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were one time far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. The book of Hebrews declares, but Christ being come a high priest of good things, by the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not one made with hands, that is to say, this building, and neither by the blood of goats or of calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean will sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? As Peter wrote concerning Jesus, he said, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with silver and gold from your vain manner of living, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And then Peter wrote, who bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness by whose stripes you were healed. John wrote, if we will walk in the light as he is in the light, then we can have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses a man from all sin. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, as John is describing Jesus, he said, who is the faithful witness? He is the first begotten of the dead and the prince of kings of the earth. Unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. John describes his first view of Jesus in heaven. When the scroll, the title deed, is being held by the Father, and the strong angel with a loud voice says, who is worthy to take the scroll and loose the seals? When no one is found worthy, no man can redeem the world back to God. As John begins to sob because no one is found worthy, the elder said, John, don't sob. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. He's going to take the scroll and loose the seals. And John said, I turned and I saw there in the midst of the throne and of the cherubim and of the 24 elders, the Lamb. He looked like a lamb that had been slaughtered. And he came and he took the scroll out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And they offered then the incense unto the Lord. And they began to sing a new song, worthy is the Lamb to take the scroll and loose the seals. For he was slain and he has redeemed us by his blood. Here John sees this multitude in heaven. You can't number them. There's just a huge multitude. And John sees them there and wonders about them. The elder said, who are these? Where did they come from? John said, well, you tell me. And so he said, these are they who came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. There is cleansing power in the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse a person from the stain of sin. All sins, no matter how horrible your sin may be, there is power in the blood of Jesus Christ to wash you and cleanse you from that sin. As we read in Isaiah, God said, come now, let's reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, you can be as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, you may be as white as wool. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses a man from all sin. You see, your sin can only have, well, the results of your sin can be only one of two. The result of your sin can bring you eternal banishment from the presence of God, or it can be washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. Those are the only two things. Either it will condemn you forever, or it can be washed. That's why God said, come now, let's reason together. Why should you allow your sin to destroy you? Why should you go on doing those things that are only bringing pain and hurt and sorrow to yourself and to others? Why continue in that deadly practice that will alienate you from God? Let's reason together, saith the Lord. He's willing to wash and cleanse you of your sin. Why should you go on in it? Why should you continue? Either you accept the redemption that is offered to you by Jesus Christ, or you will die in your sin and you will face the judgment of God. John sees this multitude whose robes have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You know, there are a lot of people today who sort of scorn the gospel because they call it a bloody religion. And they claim that they're offended by the talk of the blood. And some churches, in order to accommodate these people and to be seeker-friendly, have actually taken out of their hymnals all of the songs that refer to the blood of Jesus Christ. But let me tell you something. There's nothing else that can avail for you. There is nothing else that can cleanse you from your sin. There's only one provision that God has made for the washing and the cleansing of the guilt of your sin, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no other way. God has made no other way. Paul wrote, "For we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness." The Jews were stumbled by the cross of Jesus Christ because they were expecting their Messiah to set up his kingdom and to throw Rome out and to begin his earthly rule. And the cross, it was an offense. It was a stumbling block to them. To the Greek, it was foolishness. The idea that one man's death could bring forgiveness and salvation to a multitude of people. To the Greeks, that just seemed like so much foolishness. But Paul said, "But unto those who are called, both Jew and Greek, Jesus Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." To us who are saved thereby, it is the power of God unto salvation. Jesus, as the Lamb of God, shed his blood there on the cross. He gave his life in order to provide for us the washing and the cleansing, the removal of that stain of sin from our lives, that we might be as white as snow, pure in the eyes of God, because Jesus paid it all. The debt of sin we owed. Sin had left its crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Father, how grateful we are for the blood of Jesus Christ that has cleansed us from all sin. Thank you, Father, for your glorious plan of redemption, sending your Son as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. And Lord, we thank you that unto us who have been saved, it is the joy, it is the blessing, it is the power of God to salvation. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and not leaving us just to die in our sins, helpless and hopeless. But thank you, Lord, for paying the price and washing us in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Shall we stand? There is another hymn that we sing. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And that's really the question right now. Have your sins been washed? Or do you still carry the guilt, the burden of sin? Is it still leaving its stain upon your life? Today, God is offering you washing and cleansing. God is offering you the forgiveness of every sin you have ever committed. For the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses a man from all sin. You can go out of here today with a clear conscience, a clean conscience. You can go out of here today without any stain of sin at all in your life. The pastors are down here in the front to pray for you. You know, that burden of sin can almost destroy you. That guilt complex can make a neurotic person out of you. But Jesus Christ is offering today the cleansing, the pardon. Come now, let's reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, you can be as white as snow. The offer that God is making is such a marvelous offer. It seems absolutely ludicrous that anyone would reject the offer that God is making to them of forgiveness, cleansing, and pardon from their guilt. But that's exactly what God is offering to you today. Don't go home until you first have come to the cross and received the pardon and the cleansing from your sins. May the Lord bless and watch over and keep you in His love as you walk in fellowship with Him, all made possible through Jesus Christ.